Hello, everybody. Welcome to our informational podcast about light pollution. We're a group of students from TCC who had this research topic of light pollution, and we just wanted to share some things about it and what you can do to contribute to the fixing of this problem. So, what is light pollution in the first place? When we think about pollution, you would think about chemicals or toxins in the air, something that's toxic to us. Yes, this is the same concept, but it's way easier to fix, however, because it is just dealing with light. Light is polluting currently, especially artificial light in cities. Light is becoming a pollutant because artificial lighting, there is so much of it, especially in cities, that the sky, the water particles in the sky are reflecting this light. There's actually a deeper study on how this happens, but the same thing happens with sunshine. That's what makes the sky blue. But with artificial light, it's reflecting that light in the city from the city at night, and it's making it 1.5 times brighter than daylight. Mm-hmm. Or 1.5 times brighter than the night sky. So a lot of cities have street lights, buildings, stadium floodlights, industrial lights, neighborhood lights. All these things come together to form this big giant flashlight in the middle of an ecosystem or a forest or the outskirts of a city. And a lot of wildlife ecosystems and natural sleep rhythms and just natural rhythm of nature is getting disrupted by this problem of light pollution. So, how might this problem affect humans?
So, increased light exposure affects our circadian rhythm, which is the physical, mental, and behavioral changes that follow a 24-hour cycle. So that means that the more light there is, the less sleep we get, but not only will we get less sleep, but the risk of obesity, depression, diabetes, breast cancer, which is the one that scared me, and other conditions are higher. So Naomi mentioned light pollution and climate change. How does the attempt to fix climate change increase light pollution?
Yes, I would like to share with you when you use renewable energy sources such as wind turbines and solar panels, you need to be careful because in an effort to reduce fossil fuel consumption may lead to increased artificial lighting because as a renewable energy produces a significant amount of electricity, so that's why we need to be careful.
Yeah, that's interesting that you mention how us trying to like fix this problem of climate change, we mm-hmm. came up with renewable energy, this like wind turbines and solar panels. Mm-hmm. But especially we changed to LED lighting, which is like the main source of artificial lighting. Why did we do this? Because changing regular light bulbs to light-emitting diodes, which is LED basically, saves a lot of money regarding cost and cuts annual carbon, regarding the cost and the cuts of annual carbon emissions. LEDs save the world's resources and use them more efficiently. They need less than 25% of the energy used by an incandescent lamp.
Interesting.
So, yeah, LED, you would think it was an improvement. Just how renewable energy is. But, most sources of lighting used to be wasted in the form of heat for a long time, but not with LEDs. So, yes, LEDs have some benefits, but there are these benefits are being used too much, like over. Like, we're starting to leave lights on. We're starting to just direct them straight up into the night sky. There is just too much of them. Like I mentioned earlier, stadium floodlights. they really don't need to be that much lighting at night, because it really is affecting nature, and it's affecting animals as well. How does this affect animals? There are lots of animals who don't even come out during the full moon because the lighting makes them vulnerable to prey and attackers. You can imagine how they feel by a sky shining 1.5 times brighter than the original night sky, with all the natural things like the stars and the moon in them.
Mm-hmm.
These animals don't really have the option to just close the blinds if it's too dark like we do, which forces many species to move their homes, even non-migrational species. So birds who don't even naturally go south or north, they're just supposed to stay there. They have to move because humans are creating so much artificial light at night, and like a lot of them are dying because that is not the environment they were originally adapted to. So one example are snakes. They're more active when there's a new moon. The increase in ambient light attributed to the disappearance of the California glossy snake and long-nosed snake from Orange County. So yeah, California is a state that has a lot of cities, and that like LA, and LA was the number one city that this article that we're mentioning was studied on. And I saw this picture of the starry sky, like somewhere out in the middle of a desert,
mm-hmm.
a couple years ago, that was taken, and it was just like it had millions of colors in it with all the stars, and like it was much, much darker, but you could actually see each star because it was so dark. A lot of people never actually saw that because we live in cities. But and then there was a picture of it from LA, from like standing on top of a building. And it just looked like it was a cloudy day, and it was nighttime. So it just looked like there was just rain clouds or something.
Mm-hmm.
But even that's brighter than it should be.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it was just like this hazy sky at night. But yeah, this doesn't... I know that I mentioned snakes and... birds, but I know that you did more research on birds and bats.
Yes.
So how does that affect those?
I have more detail for that you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, for bats, exposure to artificial light can interfere with their feeding pattern and cause disorientation. And similarly, artificial light can affect birds' navigation, migration, and breeding behavior. So eventually, light pollution can interfere with this, causing birds to become disoriented and potentially leading to fatal collision with building and tower.
Yeah,
yeah, that
so
kill.
So when you see birds like flying into a building or something,
that kill lots of birds. That's so sad.
Yeah, so they're just disoriented because of the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it doesn't only affect humans and animals, as we mentioned, but trees as well and plants.
Oh, really?
So really all living life depends on this kind of dictation of light. So it really, it's a big factor in how an ecosystem runs. So I know that you did a study on trees.
Yeah. I wanted to add some information about animals and light pollution. Light pollution kills millions of birds a year here in the States.
Wow.
Yeah. And artificial light has affected female sea turtles that lay eggs on beaches. Light pollution is thought to be a cause for a decline in firefly populations.
Mm-hmm.
So light pollution also affects plants. We all know that plants depend on the natural cycle of day and night light. So artificial light at night can interrupt a plant's ability to respond to seasonal changes. Not only that, but it also causes implications for the animals that depend on trees for their natural habitat. I saw an image of a tree, and there was a street light on top of the tree. So it was shining on some leaves, but the leaves that didn't get the lighting of the lamp were orange because it was around fall. Mm-hmm. And the leaves that were getting shined on by the street light were green.
Wow, because I thought it was summer.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. So you really see how the tree depends on light to, like, change its color.
Yeah.
And, like, know when, what time of year. I wanted to add to your... to your sea turtle comment really quick before you give it to Kim. So Florida made a law to enforce low power amber lights that won't draw away sea turtles from the Gulf of Mexico. So there you go, that's already one small improvement towards that. And you can take example from a lot of the states that are, I'll mention later, that are making these laws and how maybe you can enforce that in your community.
Having said all of this, how can we address the issue of light pollution?
Yeah, so then you guys just say, I have something each of us can do. First thing, we need to direct lighting downward. Second thing, we can use light only when needed, turn it off after. Mm-hmm. And third, we should adopt rule like turning light off certain time. And IDA seal, you know about IDA?
IDA seal of approval, yeah.
Yeah, IDA seal of approval on outdoor lighting, it minimizes glare, reduce light the past. So,
yeah. So when you're shopping for those light bulbs or lamps, just look for that sticker, that logo at the bottom, IDA approved. That just that is a form of dark sky friendly lighting. So it doesn't mean you just need to turn off all your lights as soon as it gets dark and go pitch black, but you can do some things to improve this. But yeah, so the reason light pollution isn't stopping and slowly worsening is because people don't even know it's an issue. So we're hoping that this podcast can really give you an insight on this topic and maybe make you realize that even the small things that you do, such as turning on a light, can really have an impact. Ruskin Hartley, International Dark Sky Association Executive Director, he explains that with most environmental issues, the solutions are difficult, expensive, and the results need a lot of maintenance. Things are different with light pollution, however, because fixing it is as simple as shielding, dimming, or turning off a light that you're not using, like Kim mentioned previously. Most people think that because some light is useful at night and it keeps them safe, then more light must be even better. I think that's the concept of stadium lighting and the big lights that are used in cities. This is not true. Yes, it can make you feel more safe, but in your own home where you already have the security of the locked door and the walls around you, you can just think twice about how much lighting you're using outside. Harley also states that the solution doesn't mean pitch black darkness at night, as I mentioned previously. It means to think about the lamp you're installing and what its purpose would serve, and turning it on only when needed. So, as I've stated earlier with the Florida law that protects sea turtles, there are also other states and countries that have these kinds of laws.
Mm-hmm.
There's some light pollution laws that countries have made to take an action on this. Mexico, France, and Croatia have some of these laws. France requires all office buildings and shops to turn off lights after 1 a.m. Arizona mandates its large telescopes to shield all of its exterior lights. In some areas in Florida enforced law powering blue lights to protect sea turtles. So, yeah, maybe we can take an example from these states and countries and kind of that can inspire us to create a change in our smaller mm-hmm. communities and neighborhoods. So, is there anything you guys want to share about how maybe you can contribute to this?
I just wanted to share some fun facts I found.
Mm-hmm.
So, the sky glow of LA is visible from an airplane 200 miles away.
Wow, yeah, 200 miles, that's a wide radius.
And do you guys know which country is the most light polluted in the planet? It's Singapore.
Oh my
wow, that makes sense though, because it's a huge tourist attraction.
Yeah. Inhabitants of San Marino, Qatar, and Malta can no longer see the Milky Way. And the
at all?
Yeah.
Wow. At all.
The countries with the least amount of people affected by light pollution are Chad, Central African Republic, and Madagascar.
Wow, so you can really see the difference between, mm-hmm. like, these huge cities.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we hope that this conversation kind of made you more aware of this topic of light pollution, and now you know some of the things maybe you can do, and we hope you learned a lot from this podcast. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Have a good day.